The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So here we are again, yet another edition, the second week in a row of two Thought Police podcasts.
And I'm enjoying the twice weekly
I'm
thing.
Liking it, yeah, because, you know, you and I have got a lot to say. And actually compartmentalising it into half an hour a week,
yeah, it's a struggle.
Is not long enough. But I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what's a struggle is this bloody heat.
It's absolutely.
Which is very, very much against my better judgment, unless I'm lying by a swimming pool or sitting by the sea somewhere.
It's too much, isn't
it? I mean,
it?
It's not. I mean, you don't want to be in London when it's 38 degrees,
oh,
do you?
Oh, God, it's horrible.
It really is. I mean, I just want to stay inside an air-conditioned building because I've got a flat which is not air-conditioned, which is at the very top of the building. I mean, it's only four stories, but it's underneath the roof of, you know, what is the loft, and the sun shines on it all day. And no matter how much I close
like
the curtains,
greenhouse.
There's no draft.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. I mean, your house is a little bit more airy.
Well, I've got, you know, this Victorian terraced house brick, and it points the right way. So we're actually in the back where it's on the north facing.
Yes.
So it's kind of cooler.
Okay.
And they do kind of regulate their heat.
Do you ever think about
places.
That, by the way, when you buy a property? Have you ever given any thought
no.
to whether it's north or south
not,
facing?
Not, but I will do in the next one
yeah.
because as I've got older, I've gotten into gardening a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I quite like gardening.
Right.
And so I think a south facing garden. Well, any kind of garden
yeah.
in London would be...
Well, you don't want a south-facing garden at the moment, though, because it would basically turn to dust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be like something out of the Grapes of Wrath.
This
I mean, I
problem.
Seem to remember last summer,
yeah.
Because people keep saying, you know, oh, this will be the hottest day of the year, or in fact, the hottest recorded temperature in Britain ever, which is what they've been saying this week, since something like 2003.
Yeah.
And you go, hang on a second, I thought we were getting hotter. Are you telling me we haven't had a day this hot? Since 2003.
Well, they're these anomalies, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which this is, I hope.
It's another plume. This time from Morocco.
It's the regularity of those anomalies,
yeah.
I think, is what they're measuring.
Are they?
And they're coming more often. That's the thing. So it may the absolute temperature may not be the thing. It's just that we're getting more very hot days.
Well, yeah, because I remember last year we went on holiday to Devon on the basis that, you know, one, we wanted to take the dog, and two, we thought it would be quite nice just to have a summer holiday in England, because we'd had, a May holiday in Greece, right? And so we'd had our sort of dose of sunshine. And all I remember from last year was my garden. I've got quite a big garden down in Sussex, and it was never had to be mowed in the summer because it was just brown,
right?
Because it was that hot.
Yeah.
And then we went to Devon for a week, and it did nothing but fucking rain.
Yeah.
And we stayed in this little house that had a swimming pool, but the swimming pool wasn't heated. And we never used it,
yeah,
because it was never hot enough.
Too cold.
Yeah.
So, I mean... I think there's definitely, I feel like we are, and it's not just the summers, it's the winters are much warmer. I remember growing up in Merseyside, every year you would get school called off repeatedly
because of all the snow. Yeah, I mean, I've got pictures of me as a kind of 3 or 4 year old, and we're talking maybe mid-60s, you know, up to my waist in snow in London.
So that's good anyway. So neither of us are climate change deniers.
I'm not a climate change denier. No.
But what's going to happen though? What effect is it going to have?
The problem I have with everything about the climate change argument, right, is that people are hysterical as ever. You know, you don't get very often to find somebody rational. I had Piers Corbyn on my show not that long ago, last week, right?
Yeah.
Jeremy's smarter and much more sort of composite brother who doesn't seem at all grumpy. And speaks an awful lot of sense, and is regarded by some people as a kind of heretic.
God.
Because he actually says, that if you ask any biologist, CO2 is actually a good thing. He says CO2 is not a bad thing, it is required for all things to grow.
Yes, but and too much of it is a bad thing.
Well, I'm not a scientist here, he is, right? And he says it's a good thing. So you can argue with him if you like. But, you know, you can also find another scientist.
Well, surely he's saying that carbon dioxide as a thing is necessary to life. But the point of global warming is that he is
convinced, right, and I don't disagree with him, that this whole construct is about governments willing to control the people, willing to tax the people.
He sounds giving mad. Them,
well, he's a Jeremy Corbyn's brother, so how can he be mad? What do you mean? He's not mad at all.
He sounds barking.
He's not barking.
So he thinks global warming is a sort of multinational parliamentary conspiracy.
The climate change movement,
yes,
which is, we can both agree, a political movement, right?
Yes.
It is not at all based on a lot of scientific research.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
No, it's based... Well, it wouldn't come as no surprise to you to find that most Remainers who are mad on Twitter are also mad climate change activists, right?
And shoplifters, no doubt.
Well, I wouldn't make that accusation because I wouldn't try and besmirch anyone's character without knowing them individually.
Right.
And would never lump
people...
Apart
from the fact that they're all mad.
Well, I wouldn't say that either.
You just did.
No, I said they're obsessive and they think that climate change is a thing and they think that staying in the European Union is something we should do, right? There's an awful lot of people...
So you're putting those two things together now?
Well, I am, because I see it.
And applying it to 16 million
people. I see
it
on a daily basis, right?
Right.
And the thing is that most of the things that we are... We agreed in the last podcast we did that most of the stuff we're doing is pointless, right?
Yeah.
Most of the taxes that we're being asked to pay don't go towards saving the planet.
Yeah.
Most of the actions that we're taking are not going to save the planet. Yeah. And as I constantly remind people, we've only been measuring temperature for 154 years in this country, right?
Right.
Or in the world. So we don't actually know whether the pattern that we're seeing is in any way relevant to us.
But we know the ice caps are melting and we know the sea levels are rising.
Yeah, well, the ice caps melted during the Ice Age, but there wasn't anybody driving around
Land
Rover.
Why did they melt? Well, in the Ice Age,
they
didn't melt in the Ice Age.
There was ice all the way down.
They froze in the Ice Age.
Well, after the Ice Age, I mean.
When the Ice Age
finished.
They called it the Ice Age for a reason.
Yeah, right.
It was fucking cold.
Right. So when the Ice Age ended, what ended it? Was it people driving around in Land Rovers flying to Rio de Janeiro on jumbo jets? Was it? Because I don't think it was.
It was all those mammoths they were riding around too much and farting too much.
I mean, they're extinct now,
no,
right?
But I mean, look, there was a time when the United Kingdom was attached to...
This house, where we right now are, was covered in ice. Because do you know where the Ice Age line stopped?
No.
Chalk Farm.
Did it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because
does anyone know that?
Because it was known at the time. Well, it wasn't Chalk Farm Tube. It wasn't like, you know, that place where Madness posed for the album cover. But, I mean, geographically speaking, it was the bottom of Haverstock Hill.
It was.
That's where the Ice Age ended.
The Ice Age ended at the bottom of Haverstock Hill.
It did. It did. I'm not joking.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So your house currently would have been under the ice cap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why did it melt?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
Because climate is cyclical.
Is it?
I'm guessing.
Yeah,
but it must be, evidentially.
Yeah, but, you know, my point is that, you know, the fact that the ice caps may or may not be melting, because there are parts of the South Atlantic where actually the ice is growing and it's getting thicker.
Is it?
Yes. And that can be found. I mean, you can find evidence, as we said before, for any number of different theories, okay? Mm. The North Pole ice cap is melting, no question. You can see it on a daily basis. Your good mate Sir David Attenborough goes up there regularly, you know, and blows the shit off the fucking greenhouse effect by flying up there and, you know, filming and flying about with all of his crew, burning loads of electricity in holes in the snow.
Yeah.
But in the South, it's a different matter.
Is it?
Totally.
Do you remember that picture that Donald Trump tweeted from his plane window? He was flying over Greenland or something, like loads of sea ice in the sea. And he took a photo of all this sea ice. So much for global warming. Like it just completely proved it.
Yeah, well, of course. That's the thing. But I'm no doubt many of Trump's supporters will be reusing that and saying this is great. Yeah. But I mean, you mentioned what it used to be like. I mean, I remember, for example, you won't remember this, you're too young. But I remember there was a massive summer, a hot summer, 1976.
I remember it really well. Yeah, 76.
Right. Yeah. Well, for some reason, my parents were away. Yeah. And my sister and I were hanging about together. She was, I guess, I was about 15, she was about 17. And we both decided to bunk off school. And we had a flat roof. We lived in a block of flats, but it was a flat roof. And we went up on the flat roof and just lay there.
Yeah.
And I think drank beer.
Turning brown.
For about 3 days, getting burnt to an absolute crisp. Yeah. And in the evening, we went to see the, not the premiere, but it was the very new showing of Tommy, the movie.
Right.
The Who movie.
Yeah.
In Leicester Square. Because that was a big thing in those days. Yeah. You didn't just go to your local, you know, view theatre. You went into town.
Yeah.
So we went into Leicester Square with the big seats and everything.
Fantastic.
And I just remember sitting, like, in pain because I was so burnt.
But you remember, like, in the holidays when, like, well, you'd have been in your 20s, I'd been in my early teens. You set out to come back like mahogany brown.
Yeah.
You know, and you would lie on a, lie on a beach for 2 weeks.
Well, my sister and her friends would literally cover themselves in olive oil or something. Yeah. You know, they wouldn't even bother with
it. Well, there's that Hawaiian tropics bronzing oil, they used to call it. Smells of coconut, really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd
see. You're basically frying.
Well, by the end of the first week, you'd already be peeling, and then you'd go in for your deeper second week, and you'd come back looking chestnut.
Yeah. You know? I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it was Craig McKenzie and I, our good mate, used to go golfing holidays with him, and we went to we went down the Algarve 1 year, right, and it was a horrendous kind of, you know, drinking and just madness, just the two of us, and we'd play a lot of golf, and it was kind of, I think it was March, early April, and so it wasn't that, the weather wasn't that warm, and you'd go out on the first tee and it was kind of like dew on the ground, and as we were going around it started to get hotter and hotter, and by the time we finished at lunchtime it was blazing hot, it was like, you know, sort of 35 degrees, and of course we sat with no suntan oil or anything, sat outside on the terrace and had a few beers and a hamburger for lunch, went out and played some more golf. On the way back to the little shabby sort of two bedroom place that we'd rented, Quinta del Lago, I said, well, we better stop at some pharmacia and get some after sun. I said, because I could feel my face is just burning up, right? So I ran into this place, picked up this stuff, after sun, right, that'll do. Got back, started sort of putting it all over my face. And we went out for dinner, more drink, you know, nothing really changed. Came back, put more on. I woke up in the middle of the night to go for a pee, put the light on. And it was like, oh! I mean, you know that scene in Poltergeist where the guy's like pulling bits off his face? Literally, my face had turned some kind of orange colour, right? And I was thinking, Christ, you know. And it turned out that I'd bought After Sun with tanning accelerant in it. He said to me at one point, he said, they're never going to let you back into the country.
Trump orange.
So you are actually, you look Indian.
That's
right?
Great.
And we went to play at Villa Moura, which is a very posh club. Yeah. And we'd been introduced to the, and it was something we'd set up and got a freebie. So we had to go and meet all the kind of, you know, the big boys and the PRs and everything. And I'd also got some kind of a mole, something on my nose anyway. So I went into the room and he introduced me as Rumpelstiltskin. And they were all looking around going, what's happened to him?
Oh my God.
It was horrendous. It took about 3 weeks for it to, like, to get back to normal.
Bloody hell.
And literally, because it wouldn't stop at that point. Yeah. Once you've got it, every day it just gets browner and browner and browner.
Agent Orange.
And I literally, I mean, I looked like, I just looked like I was from India.
I've only ever played golf with Craig once. And you were there, I think. In what was that think tank we went to at the Mirror Dance?
In La Manga.
La Manga,
Did you play down there?
Yeah, but so...
That was a great trip.
It was fantastic. And that was where the column 3 a.m. was invented. Or Richard Wallace.
That's right, it was, yeah. I remember sitting around that big table.
That's right.
We went on a 3-day trip.
Yeah.
This
is when the Daily Mirror had money.
Yeah, and there was probably, 30 people there?
Yeah.
And we spent 2.5 hours, I think, on the Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Talking about the paper. The rest of the time was just
jolly. Golf and booze.
Golf and booze.
Yeah.
I remember... And loads of people watching porn, I seem to remember.
Oh,
as
really?
Well.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But what I do remember is that Piers Morgan had brought this really expensive driver, right?
Right.
Put it in, told everybody about it, carbon fibre, this, that and the other. And I'd put it on the luggage rack. Oh. And when he came into the airport, right, it was snapped in two. So Piers went to the pro shop at La Manga and said to the guy... Right, he was obviously on Exes, right? He said, right, just give us the most expensive driver you've got, right? The fella said, came out with it, it was like 550 euros or something like that. And and he said to Piers, he said, how good are you? And he said, Piers, yeah, I'm really good, I'm good, you know, as Piers would.
Right.
And he said, no, I mean, really, how good are you? And Pierce said, well, you know, I go around about handicap about 16 or something like that. He wrested it out of his hands. You can't use that.
My God.
But
my
then we went to the starting thing. The point was we had to start off the 10th tee.
Right.
And there was a little. They were all a little bit anxious about us because we were quite a bit rowdy. And I remember Craig McKenzie striding up to the 10th tee where this back nine starter was.
Because did they not put us on the small course as well rather than the big one?
I can't remember.
Because they've got two courses there.
I can't remember that.
I think they put us on the small one.
But Craig marched up to the tee and right in full view of the starter, took his flies down and started having a pee right on the tee. Like he was behind a bush in some.
He is. I mean, I've played so much golf with Craig over the years, and it's incredible how completely and utterly oblivious he is to anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in situations where he'd be marching up the fairway, and I'd have to shout, "Craig, I'm about to hit the shot." You know, he's so single-minded, particularly when he's not playing very well.
Yeah.
But we went once to America where we had a great time. We got a freebie to the PGA National, which is just out of North Fort Lauderdale, around there. But we also played a couple of other courses. And the one funny moment, and I'm sorry for anyone that this is a boring golf story, but he had found himself in his bunker sort of midway across the hole, and he was about 200 yards to the green. And he took out his wood, and he gets into the bunker, and there was a guy, sort of local greenkeeper type guy there, who was clearly Cuban, and or Mexican, or Hispanic in some way. Anyway. And Craig steps into the bunker, and he goes, "Right, as you can imagine, he would. Right, this is going straight on the green." And this guy looks at me and he goes, "Hey," he says, "your friend Cuban?" And I said, "No, what do you mean?" He says, "He sure talks a lot of bullshit." And of course, he hit it about 3 feet. He stayed in the bunker. Very funny.
Well, on that tee shot, after Craig had peed and the guy had finally let us on, because I was nervous, I volunteered to go first. And I put the ball down and got the driver out. And then thought, I'm going to take the skin off this. And swung at it so hard, I completely missed the ball. Except I got close enough to it that by the motion of the air, just knocked it off the tee. And it sort of rolled about 3 inches. And there was just this silence. Then Piers Morgan just went, "Shot, Matt."
Funnily enough, Lemanga's got quite a good history for him. Because you remember when there was some moment at which he had to sort of do a runner. And I can't remember at what point in his career as an editor it was. But I think he was at the Mirror.
Right.
And he escaped, and everybody wanted to know where he was. He was getting doorstepped, and I think it was in the middle of one of the scandals, you know.
Yeah.
And he fucked off to Lemanga secretly, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, only to find that not only was he there, but the entire Leicester City football team were there. And then they had that incident with the fire extinguisher.
God,
do you remember?
Was Pierce there for
he
that?
Was there.
Oh, I didn't know.
But
that.
Nobody knew he was there.
Right.
So fucking Fleet Street descends on Lemanga to do the story about all these Leicester City footballers who had let off a fire extinguisher, and it was all hell
to pay.
That
was Muzzy, is it, and all these
Aslott,
guys.
And I think was Collymore not involved
Collymore
in that as well?
Collymore was there,
And Piers was there.
And Robbie, what's his name?
Savage.
Robbie Savage,
yeah.
I think it was.
That's
right.
It was that sort of era.
Yeah.
And Piers, in the end, apparently, I mean, he's told the story about it against himself. He eventually just stopped hiding and came out and went, "All right, boys."
Yeah.
And they weren't interested because the other story was better than his anyway. Yeah. But he couldn't stand it anymore, and he just went drinking with him at the bar.
That's great.
You know, which was very
funny. Only Pierce could.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But listen, I want to go back to Boris Johnson for a moment.
Yes.
Because I want you to think back to when we started the Thought Police podcast and you expressed some amount of incredulity when I said to you, "Don't you think it's a bad idea for Carrie Simmons to move into Downing Street?" Now, how big a story has that become?
Absolutely.
Since we talked about
ridiculous.
It.
Ridiculous.
You know, now
is she going to move in?
Well, I mean, there were two stories at the weekend. One said that they'd broken up, which was clearly wrong.
Mm.
I don't know who fed them the Times that. I think it was in the Times. Mail on Sunday had it that they bought instead a new love nest in Camberwell for $1.3 million. and presumably sold off the other place that living next door to the vegan nutters.
Yeah,
you know, Guardian Guardian Plants.
Well, the people with a social conscience, you mean?
No, no, the vegan nutters, Guardian Plants, those guys. Yeah. And probably even as we speak, desperately trying to find out where the new house is, you know, so they can move next door again, you know. But isn't it interesting how it's become a thing where Johnson has now more or less said that he thinks it would be, quote, unwise to move her in to Downing Street because it would the focus. So he's not going to walk up.
As you said, you know, can you be a bachelor in Downing Street?
Well, I just, this is why I don't. I think it was
incredibly
prescient of me.
It's a very, very interesting question, yeah.
Because it shows you that as much as we may think we've moved forward in a way, say, for example, that, that lots of countries in Europe have, where they have all manner of different kind of, you know, living arrangements depending on what they do. And, you know, nobody really cares that much. But here we still do.
Well, do you remember Francis Hollande was found shagging? And the story was more about the fact that he went there on a scooter than the fact that he was shagging.
Exactly.
Was kind of like,
nobody really cared.
Yeah.
You know, and, in, and you know, nobody cares if you're gay in certain countries. Nobody cares if you're straight. I still think that in this country, that would be quite a big milestone.
Do you think that do you think a gay politician would suffer at the polls?
No, because there are plenty of gay politicians.
Yeah, but I think, if they were, so say.
I honestly don't think they would.
No.
Now.
Yeah.
But when now that we know what people's attitudes and or what even Boris Johnson's own attitude is about his girlfriend, quotes or as some people have put it, his mistress, because technically he's still married.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we're a bit more morally kind of questionable than we thought.
Yeah. What about a black prime minister? Do you think Britain's ready for a black prime minister?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I've always said, I've always thought that Britain is much less racist as a country than America has ever been.
Really?
And America has had a black president.
Yeah.
And I think if, say, you wouldn't want somebody like James Cleverly because he's a Tory. Mm. But if James Cleverly
David Lammy, for instance.
You know. I wouldn't want David Lammy, but not nothing to do with his colour of his skin. I just think
he's a
wally.
Right.
Well, yeah, I just don't lie. I would never vote for him. But I think that that James Cleverly was to suddenly run for office and he was to become the next Prime Minister, I don't think anyone would bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
I really
don't. I agree. I absolutely hope you're right.
Yeah. No, I think I am. I mean, look, there are people in this country who are unreconstructed racists. Of course there are.
Yeah.
And there are people like that all over the place. But I don't think the majority of people in this country care or give a stuff. I really don't. It's too, I mean, you look at the football team. You look at the England football team. There's barely a white person in it, for want of a better phrase. I mean, you know, and the whole of sport is in this country in which we are being very successful, as we talked about when we talked about the cricket, is incredibly multicultural.
Well, my daughter's a good athlete and she runs for she does all track and field for London Heathside,
right?
And she was competing at the Allianz Park where Saracens play.
Oh yeah.
And there was, it was under 15s, 17s, under 13s. And honest to God, you had every single colour across the spectrum.
Yeah.
It was like what you see in a mini Olympics. Like lots of young, tall, black kids doing sprinting. Lots of tall, beanpole, white kids doing the high jump. But it's definitely true that that sport, I think, has been a great kind of door to defeating racism.
Because
how can you cheer the England football team?
Yeah.
And be a racist,
incredibly,
but some people do.
Incredibly, there are still people who are like that, which I find so abominable and pathetic that you just don't even, I mean, you don't even want to continue being considered to be from the same country or something really, you know.
But
also, I think our kids are very much less judgmental.
Do you think
even
that's
than we are.
More of a London thing, though, than it is?
Not really. I don't think so.
Do you think if you go to a school in Aberdeen, for instance, where all the kids are white, you know, do you think that when those kids come down to London to work, that London doesn't freak them out a bit?
I don't think so, unless they've got parents who are like that. Because I always think that that's where it comes from. Because most kids, and my own kids included, are so inclusive about everything that, you know, they look at me like some stupid old git, which is entirely as they should look at me, you know, because adulation's all very well, you know, but, you know...
occasionally
it's good when they, you know, like when I tweeted out that, you know, do shut up, you old bore, to Sir David Attenborough. You know, my daughter Emma, who worships the ground on which I walk, she just was like, I didn't like that, Dad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so?
What, because it was ageist?
No, because Sir David Attenborough is
like
a saint.
Godlike figure.
You can't criticise him, you know.
I think ageism, and I've been guilty of this in the past.
Ageism is far more likely to be a thing, I would say, nowadays.
Yeah.
And a lot of it comes, I have to say, from people who are supposedly on the tolerant left.
That's right.
You know?
And I've been guilty of it. You know, and I realise it's a blind spot, and I think it's a blind spot for a lot of people, that you know, you quite casually.
Mm. Well, it's always good. The way to do it, for my view, is, and we've all made mistakes in certain ways that we've either written down or said or whatever.
Yeah.
Substitute whatever it is that you're attacking with black
or Jew or something like that,
or Arab, and then would you say it? Anything. Yeah. And then would you say it?
Yeah.
And if the answer is, well, actually, that wouldn't look so good.
Yeah.
I think you have to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, because also, I mean, the thing about the whole Remain Leave argument as well, where you see, you know, generally speaking, the Remainers saying, oh, it's all the old people that voted. You know, I'm sorry, whenever I look at, you know, marches in favour of Remain, it's all old people.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of old people on both sides. It's the same as plenty of young people on both sides.
And a general lack of diversity on Remain marches.
Very white. I'm surprised Jon Snow hasn't remarked on it, to be honest. But he only remarks on the things that are white that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
As opposed to the things that are white that he does like.
Yeah.
You know.
No, there's a lot of truth in that.
There is a lot of truth in that. But, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, going back to the weather, I wanted to talk to you a bit about the weather coverage that we've done over the course of time. Because, of course, I mean, it doesn't take long, does it, for them to do the few what a scorcher headlines, you know. Hotter than July.
Well, they've got the graphics. Bermuda. I mean, those burning sun graphics that you see on the front page of the tabloids, they're sort of like they're on the first column of things to drag over.
But do you remember the days when, I mean, papers are now kind of actively not doing it. But there was a time when all that you would do, if you were on the picture desk of a national newspaper and it was a hot day, was you'd send a picture, some local guy from Bournemouth News Agency, down to Bournemouth Beach, find a nice-looking bird in a bikini,
and
send it up.
And more often than not, like a sort of 16-year-old. It's all very creepy now you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And nowadays, when they do sort of pictures of people sunbathing in Regent's Park and stuff, they have to be quite, shall we say, all-encompassing.
No, but that's only like 15 years ago you would have...
I think it's even more recent than that.
Like the Times. You know, all newspapers would have a picture of a pretty girl taking advantage of the unseasonal sunshine, you know. And it's you couldn't do it now.
No. Well, I remember when I was at university. You know, when I was at university in Bath, right? Yeah. And I was sort of wanting to be a journalist, working on the local paper, not the local paper, the student paper, which I became the editor of, right?
Yeah.
And I used to know a guy quite well through my parents who was the Bristol correspondent for the Daily Express, and he rang me up one day and he said, have you got any dolly birds working for you? And I was like, sorry, what do you mean? And he said, you know, it's a couple of good looking girls, you know, it's a lovely hot day. He said, I've got to find somebody to take a picture of.
You're kidding.
And he sent a photographer to our campus, right?
Yeah.
And there was a couple of young girls that were friends of mine who didn't really work on the paper.
Yeah.
This photographer arrived and he said, right, let's go and take some pictures. They were just in summer dresses, you know, but it was a sort of... But they were up for it. And this guy was taking their pictures and what do you do on the paper?
Yeah.
And they were kind of looking at me and I said, oh, they do, you know, variety of things in variety. You know, it's all bollocks, right?
But it's good that that's gone, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can't imagine now somebody ringing me up at talk radio and going, you got any decent looking women there?
Yeah.
Do you want to come down and take some pictures? Can you go
home and get their bikinis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you mind? You know.
It's really... changed, hasn't
it? It's really changed.
But when you think back, and I'm just thinking back now for the first time really in that context, it was so creepy, really. You know, and a lot of the stuff was, I mean, it's pervy, a lot of the stuff. And I remember editors going through, I mean, I remember an editor, I won't name them, and it was an editor of a paper not in London that I worked for. And I remember him looking at these pictures and saying, oh, that'll give him a wee stiffy. You know, and that was the sort of goal was, you know, so that'll turn the blokes on.
Well, presumably that was the original point of the whole page three thing in The Sun.
Must be, I suppose.
But I don't know. Because, I mean, for a long time, people argued about why the hell would you want to get rid of it?
Yeah.
You know, do you remember when Claire Short was campaigning to get rid of it
years ago? But Rebecca Wade, when she got made editor, she came in, everyone thought this is the end of page three, and she came in day one with a I Love Page Three badge on it.
But then eventually they said, well, actually, it does seem a bit weird.
And was it Dominic Mowen got rid of it?
I think it was, yeah.
Good for him, yeah.
But, I mean, she was involved in that as well by that stage. Yeah. But here's the thing. I think I'm not sure if the Daily Star still do it. I think they might do. But it just looks weird. You just kind of go, well, why am I opening a newspaper?
And seeing a pair of tits.
And, a half-naked woman. I mean,
what's it for?
What are you buying a paper like that for? If that's the reason you're buying it, why is that? Why are you buying it?
Yeah.
You know, It's not as if you want to, if you, you know, it's not as if there's not a variety of places you can go if you want to watch a naked woman.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what, because I forgot to mention this on Tuesday, but we've got an email address.
Oh, yes, I wanted to ask you about that. Because your idea, right, is to get people to interact with us. Now, what do you want them to do with this email
address? Well, I just thought you could, people could send in comments if they wanted to, or tell us if we're talking bollocks.
Right.
Or they could ask us to talk about certain subjects.
Oh, I see.
You know, if
okay.
they think, you know, Mike and Matt would be great talking about dot, dot, dot.
Oh, okay.
They could suggest that. But it could just be like a weekly sort of letters bag.
Yeah.
And sometimes we could discuss it.
Right.
And, you know,
you don't think you're just opening yourself up to a load of abuse?
Well, almost certainly, but plus ça change. But anyway, I think the email, the email is thoughtpolicepod.
Right.
As it sounds, at gmail.com.
Well, do you know what I'll do? Because we've got a spot on the Twitter account where you can put an email address.
Great.
I'll put it there as well.
Great.
I'll tweet it out. We can do it on Facebook as well.
Perfect.
With exactly what it is. So it's thoughtpolicepod
at gmail.com. And the other thing people can do for us, if you're enjoying the show, give us a good, give us a rating on iTunes and leave a comment. And if you're not enjoying the show, don't.
And we are. And clearly people are enjoying it because it's still in the charts. And it's still holding its place, which
very
is good.
It's
very gratifying. When you look around at all of the other things around it, which are things from the BBC, things from very established media companies.
People.
Yeah, well, people with actual staff.
Yes.
You know, people with actual, you know, very expensive electronic equipment.
That's right.
You know, producers. Yeah, we don't need that.
We don't. We're sitting. It's just in case
the podcast of the people.
People keep saying, "Why are you recording it in a bathroom?"
Yeah.
Or it sounds like you're recording it in a bathroom. Well, it's nearly a bathroom.
It's not quite a bathroom,
but it's
actually
a small study about 8 foot by 10 foot, and we do it with a single microphone.
There's a certain authenticity to it.
I like to think that's a great word.
That's
for
what
it.
I like. It's
authenticity. Yeah.
It's authentic because you know we don't need to live in the world of, you know, media conglomerates.
We don't need.
Well, we do a bit.
High production
We
values.
Do a bit, but not for this, you know. But this is the Thought Police. Listen, we'll be doing two a week from now on. Who knows? We might even get ambitious and start doing more.
Well, do you know what? There are some people do it every day.
I know.
Well, I think one of us, you'd have to get
But we'd have to be in the same
job.
Place, wouldn't we? We can't do it. We can't be in the same place
you'd
every day.
You'd have to take it really seriously.
We would. All right.
There'd have to be some money in it for us.
There would have to be more money in it for us, let's put it that way. Right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
This house, where we right now are, was covered in ice. Because you know where do you know where the Ice Age line stopped?
No.
Chalk Farm.
Did it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because
How does anyone know that?
Because it was known at the time. Well, it wasn't Chalk Farm Tube. It wasn't like, you know, that place where Madness posed for the album cover. But, I mean, geographically speaking, it was the bottom of Haverstock Hill.
It was.
That's where the Ice Age ended.
The Ice Age ended at the bottom of Haverstock Hill.
It did. It did. I'm not joking.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So I ran into this place, picked up this stuff after sunlight, that'll do. Got back. Started sort of putting it all over my face. And we went out for dinner, more drink, you know, nothing really changed. Came back, put more on. I woke up in the middle of the night to go for a pee, put the light on. And it was like, have you know that scene in Poltergeist where the guy's like pulling bits off his face? And literally, my face had turned some kind of orange colour, right? And I was thinking, Christ, you know. And it turned out that I'd bought After Sun with tanning accelerant in it.
It's definitely true that that sport, I think, has been a great kind of door to defeating racism. Because how can you cheer the England football team and be a racist?
Well, incredibly,
but some people do.
Incredibly, there are still people who are like that, which I find so abominable and pathetic. You just don't even, I mean, you don't even want to continue being considered to be from the same country or something really, you know?
Oh, that'll give them a wee stiffy.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa Welcome Bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.